time allotted, the Lord willing, I intend to speak on the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. I'm not here to try to talk to a crowd that has to have apologia, everything proven. I'm here talking to Christians this morning that, number one, are convinced of Jesus, are convinced of the Holy Spirit of God and the inerrancy of the Scriptures. And with that being said, we remember plainly that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was not form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And we read on down, and He created everything. And He looked and saw the things that He was created, and He was pleased, and He was satisfied. And He put man in the garden. And for a very short time, the man and woman in the garden, there was no sin. It was pristine. It was beautiful. No wrong had been done. There was no guilt until choices were set into motion. And we as creatures make choices, whether they be right or whether they be wrong. But that is the beauty of being able to make a choice, is because when we choose to do the right thing through the human condition of suffering, and that is the whole point of Christ's priesthood, is to suffer for us. When we have done our best and we've suffered, we went through misery and pain and agony on this earth, and we still serve God as Christ did for us, it is beautiful. But there was a time when there was no sin, there was no death, there was no dying. But man made the wrong choice, and therefore God left the garden and He went to prepare a better place. And in so doing, we see the priesthood of Melchizedek. We see the Mosaical priesthood and dispensation, the priesthood of Aaron, but ultimately which led us to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. There's many things that we could say in pertaining to the priesthood, but let's go right into it, because I don't want to keep us over time, because I know some of you folks have got a long way to go. And so we'll go right into the qualities. Number one, the qualifications of what it means to be a priest. Well, what are some of the qualifications in being a priest? Number one, it's a divine appointment. It's not an appointment of mankind. It's not the Sanhedrin came together and voted on it. But God determined that there would be a priesthood. As we look at Hebrews division 2, or if you like to use the word chapter, Hebrews 2 at 17. Therefore, in all things, He had to be made like His brethren. Jesus came to this earth. He took on the human form. He took on a limitation. He took on suffering and pain and misery. He became like our brothers. Remember, God exalted Him, and He made Him His son. He was already God, but He made him His son. He became higher than the prophets. He became higher than the angels. But He came to the earth as a human form and took on the form of the human. He had to be made like His brethren, but we're talking about just the regular priesthood at this point, the qualifications of being a priest, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiations for the sins of the people. Let's look at Numbers, division 15. Numbers chapter 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice, in performing a vow, or in free will offering, or in your solemn feast, to make a sweet savor unto the Lord of the herd and of the flock. We see the priesthood going on. We see offerings being made. Then shall he that offereth his offering unto the Lord bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering shalt thou prepare, with a burnt offering or sacrifices for one lamb or for a ram, and on and on and on. And we see offerings being made. And when thou preparest a bullock for a burnt offering, and we go on down, and then we see that they brought a bull offering
10, a drink offering. Verse 17, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land whither I bring you, then it shall be that when ye eat of the bread of the land, ye shall offer up an heave offering unto the Lord. Ye shall offer up a cake of the first of your dough for an heave offering, as ye do the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall ye have it. Now, verse 22. And if ye have erred and not observed all these commandments which the Lord has spoken unto Moses, 23, even all the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that the Lord commanded Moses and henceforward among your generations, then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance. What about us in the modern dispensation? Somebody will say, we don't have any hope. We don't know. If we do something in ignorance, there is hope for us. If we are pointing in the right direction, trying to do the right thing, trying to walk for God. Because God is not up there just waiting for us to sin so He can pull a button and we go through the floor. He is not willing that anybody should perish. And so we see that the priesthood is a type of Christ. Not exactly like Christ, because they wasn't perfect. And we see that the high priest under the old law had to go into the holiest of holies year after year after year after year. As we see from the book of Hebrews, this signifying that the way into the holiest of holies was not yet made manifest. In other words, Christ hadn't died for us. So we see an offering for ignorance. Without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savour unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. Then, verse 25, the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made with fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. 27. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly. We say mercy and grace for sin in ignorance. When he sinneth by ignorance for the Lord to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. Now, we have a high priest that was selected from among men, but he was a type of Christ. And we see that man sins through ignorance in any dispensation. Now, we sin through ignorance. We're not perfect. We don't have all knowledge. We're not at all places at all times. The high priest was selected from among men because he was a man. A man that sinned. A man that would have mercy. A man that would have grace. A man that knew how to go before God and ask Him for forgiveness. Because he with himself was a sinner. And what verse did I get fixed on, please? Verse 30. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, no matter who it was, the same reproacheth the Lord, and the soul shall be cut off from among the people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. So the priest was to make a distinction of sin of ignorance or of sin willfully committed. He was making a distinction, the proper distinction, because he was a human being. He had compassion. Uh,
as we continue with the qualifications of a priest. He had to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Hebrews 8 and 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that the one also have something to offer.
I've already let the cat out of the bag.
He offered it with human sympathy. Leviticus 16 and 11. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself. Aaron was a priest, but he was a sinner. And in so being a human that sinned, he could have compassion. And for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. So, the high priest would be need to be well acquainted with the human condition to be able to perform his job. Well, we know that Christ was portrayed by the high priest, but it wasn't always an exact parallel, as we see from Hebrews 7 and beginning with 26. Hebrews 7 and beginning with 26. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, talking about Jesus, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heaven, who does not need daily, as those high priests, the human priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. So now, number two, what are Christ's qualifications as high priest? One, that was divinely appointed. God decided that his son would become high priest and be propitiation, appeasement for our sins. We see two messianic prophecies to consider along with this. From Psalms 2 and 7, I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. His priesthood was similar to the order of Melchizedek, and we're not going to park on that. Psalms 110 and 4. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Sidebar. It's just that it seemed up here out of nowhere, he didn't have genealogy. You know, he was a human being, he had a mom and daddy, but they didn't keep up with the genealogy. So let's go on from that. Psalms 110, and beginning with verse 1. His calling as a high priest is only natural. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. And the duties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. What else qualified Christ to be a high priest? He was sympathetic. We say from the way he offered prayers, and the way he cried, the way he wept. Somebody said, why did he weep? Well, it was because he was sorry for the sin. No. He was already sorry for that. Or he wasn't left the garden, went back to heaven, and come back as a human being. So he was already sorry. So what is the word there? Why did he cry? It didn't say agape, sacrifice. It said phileo. It was a human being. It was his friend. He was being tempted as we were. But yet he did no wrong. He knows what it's like to lose somebody. You know, we lose people, and we're sad, and we cry, and we don't want to say goodbye. But Jesus done that with his friend Lazarus. He knows what it's like to be us. He is sympathetic. Hebrews 2 and 18. For in that he himself has suffered We can't even begin to imagine the suffering that Jesus went through as a human being, being beat and spat upon and hated and rejected. And as Ron was talking about how he would have spread his wings out and wanted them to come, begged them to come, and they wouldn't do it. He suffered in that way. He was tempted. He was tempted in all like points as me and you. We can get up, have a Blue Monday, a bad hair day, trip over the coffee table and fall into the television set and think, I am having an awful day and I need to pray to God. God, you don't know what it's like between me. Yeah, he does. He was nailed to a tree. He had nails run through his hands, his feet. His side was pierced. He was miserable. He died. He very much knows what it's like to be me and you. Therefore, we are comforted when we pray our prayers through him to God to have someone to know what it is like to be you, me and you, because he has suffered and he has been tempted in all our points as you and I. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all like points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I'm going to speed up. Let's go on to the conclusion. Christ's calling as our high priest. All right, we have somebody that's our high priest. We've obeyed the gospel. We've been baptized for the remission of our sins. The old man of sin went down into the watery grave. Our faith touched the blood of Christ. We put off the old man. We arise to walk in the newness of Christ. And we have put on Christ. Well, he is the author of our eternal salvation. What does it mean to be an author? To the you Greeks out there, it is A-I-T-I-O. It means cause. Christ is the author, our cause of our salvation. Hebrews 7, 24 through 27. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God. Whosoever comes to God. We're not Calvinists, and there's just a few that is pre-elected, and God already knows they were going to heaven over here, and these over here were going to hell, and there's nothing that you can do to touch the blood. We know better than that, because there is also able to save the uttermost those who come to God through him, through Christ, through faith in Christ. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such an high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. And this he did once for all when he offered up himself. We are to obey the gospel. We are to obey what he has asked us to do in order to receive this grace. And in so doing, we have not earned anything. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 9. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, flaming fire taking the vengeance on those who do not know God. What does it mean to know God? 1 John tells us to know God is to obey God. So those who do not obey God, he will take vengeance and flaming fire. And the conjunction, and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Let's read 1 Peter 4, 17 and 18, and we'll bring our remarks to a close. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Jesus didn't have to come to the earth. God didn't have to let him come. We could have never lived long enough in the flesh to have earned salvation. But man made the wrong choice. He sinned in the garden. God separated himself. And God sent Jesus to come to the earth to take on the human form, to be weak, to suffer, die. He was miserable. But we have a high priest that can be touched with our infirmities. What a blessing we have if we will only obey the gospel. I thank you for your kind attention. I turn the floor over to the brethren.